to that. Thank you again for being here tonight. Choir, I know that you were here. Some instruments were here practicing this afternoon, so toughen up. That's all I can say. Just got to get tougher, you know? Got to make it. Stay awake. All right, so let's go ahead and pray before we get into it tonight. Lord, thank you for being with us, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells with us and in us. And Lord, I pray that you would be in all things tonight. Lord, as just teaching, allow my mind to just stay on focus with the things that you'd have. And Lord, as we talk about the Antichrist tonight, if there be any way, Lord, that there's any wicked spirit even in it, Lord, I pray that you just cast it out of here. You get rid of it. Lord, you protect this place as we look at this topic tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are going to talk about the Antichrist tonight. So I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Now, as we look in the scriptures and as we dig into the scriptures tonight and look at these things, man, you'll find out that this Bible has some wild stuff in it. I mean, some wild stuff. And it's better than Hollywood could ever do. The things in the Bible, the stories in the Bible are better than Hollywood could ever come up with. The love stories are far greater than the movies. The action scenes in the Bible are far more descriptive and far better than the things. And if you want all the demonic activity and crazy beasts and everything else, they're right in the Bible. They're right in the Bible. You can find them in here. And so we're going to look at the Antichrist tonight and his place in the time of Daniel's 70th week. And so we'll get right into it. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. We'll see how the voice holds up. It's tired, so we'll see how it goes. 1 John 4, verse number 3. John says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." So John says that there is this spirit of Antichrist, and it confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. All right, so it doesn't confess that Jesus, the Christ, was in the flesh, that God was manifest in the flesh. And so if there's a spirit that says God was not manifest in the flesh, that Jesus Christ was not come in the flesh, that spirit is not of God. All right, so that's good because we can identify that. There are some religions that tell us that Jesus Christ was not God manifest in the flesh. And we can know that the spirit behind those religions is not of God. All right, so that's very plain. But specifically, he says there's this, and this is, middle of the verse, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. He says, you have heard that it should come, but it's already working now in the world. That's what John says. There's this spirit that is already working that is against Christ. It is Antichrist. It is the opposite of Christ. And so we're going to look at not just the spirit of Antichrist tonight, but the spirit personified in a person. The spirit of Antichrist boiled down to a person. All right, that's what Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ was God's spirit personified into a person. It was God manifest in the flesh. That was who Jesus Christ was. And there is the opposite of that, a spirit that is against Christ, a spirit that we'll find that is of the devil. That spirit, Antichrist, of the devil, personified, is in the person of the Antichrist. All right, so Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. We're going to have to move so that we can get through some things. If we don't get through everything tonight, that's fine. But I want to get at least the groundwork of some things laid. And we're going to look at some scriptures here about the Antichrist. And we're going to see that in John and in Daniel, where we find the most about the Antichrist, you're going to find that these visions were revealed in a prophetic way, in some ways, things that were veiled and not perfectly clear. All right, that's why when we start looking here in Revelation chapter 13, we're going to look at, let's just read verse number 1. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." You're going to start to find that there are all these creatures that are in here that are representative of different beings, all right? And they have this, they're cloaked in a veil of, huh? They're cloaked in this, I saw this beast and it had these 10 heads and these horns and what or 7, yeah, what's going on? What is this beast thing? Is this the dragon? No, there's a dragon also. And so it starts to kind of veil itself in these. So we have to search the scriptures and we have to trust what God has revealed to us to be able to know what some of these are. Now, I've said this before. When we start talking about the book of Revelation, people are like, you should just teach Revelation. Believe it or not, when I stand up here and try to teach something, I need to have the slightest clue of what I'm talking about. Say, well, you could just fake your way through Revelation. Yeah, of course, I could. I believe that I could run some references and read some people and say, let's just run through Revelation. But it gets a little dicey. And so when we start talking about some of these things, I'm going to tell you some things like, this is what I think. This is what I can see out of the scriptures. And this is what I believe about the Antichrist and what we have. But this stuff is, it's veiled, it's cloaked for a reason. And God continues to reveal things through his word. All right, so let's continue to read. We have this beast, all right, and he has the 10 horns. And his 10 horns, he has crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. So this isn't the dragon, because this beast gets its power from the dragon. And his seat, this place where he set up himself, and great authority. He was given all this from the dragon. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over them, and power was given him, over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then, so we hear this about this beast, and we hear that he has this power, and we hear there's the dragons involved because the dragon gives him power, and one of his heads, we know all these things. But then the Lord does help clear some things up. Look in verse 18. The Bible says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's 666. All right, so we understand here that this beast that is given to us and shows us these things that we can learn from this beast, we can understand that this beast is a man. He represents a man because his number represents, it's a man's number, and that number is 666, and that 666 is the Antichrist. All right, so this beast is representative of a man. All right, it's going to be an actual man that has powers given to him and other things that we read here in the book of Revelation, and that's who he is. So he's called a beast. All right, and I'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, in verse 2. first three. It'll start in three. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's two names, man of sin and the son of perdition. Who is this man? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital W, wicked be revealed, from whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. All right, so we also see this mystery of iniquity, and we'll probably run over this later, but we see this mystery of iniquity. This mystery of iniquity is transformed. It is no longer a mystery in the Antichrist. That's who it's going to be. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This mystery works already, but it will be personified in the Antichrist. And he's called, in verse number 8, he's called the wicked. All right, he's called the wicked. Turn to Daniel 9. Daniel 9. So he's a beast. He's called the man of sin. He's called the son of perdition. He's called the wicked. The book of Daniel, verse chapter 9, verse 26. Let's back up to 25. Daniel 9, 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, see the capital? Messiah the Prince, capital P, shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 80 days shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince, small p, that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. All right, so in Daniel 9:26, he's called a prince, but it's a small p. It's not P, capital Prince. That's Messiah the Prince. That's the Prince of Peace. That's the prince that was in the one song, the third song we sang tonight. It was capital P, Prince. Who is that? Christ. That's Christ. But the small p prince in here is the Antichrist. He's the one that shall come, and he's going to destroy the city and the sanctuary, and he's going to bring war, and desolations are determined. That's what the small p prince is going to do. And that small p prince is the Antichrist. He is going to come and do those things. And in Daniel 7 and in Daniel 8, you can take my word for it right now because it's spread out amongst a bunch of verses. He's called the little horn. Why? Because there's these other horns and there's all these other things that are going on. And he's called this little horn that shows up at the very end. This little horn that rises above the others to take power. And so he's called the little horn as you read through Daniel and read that. Now there's also many types of the Antichrist. We're not going to go over all those. But there are many types in the Old Testament and in the New Testament of the Antichrist, just like there are types of Jesus Christ, right? Types of Jesus Christ. Joseph, he's the greatest type of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Right? And you can read through there and you can go through and you start to see all these things. You can underline all of these things that happen. For example, his brothers, for envy's sake, tried to get rid of him, right? And what do we know about that? We know that Jesus Christ was crucified for envy of the scribes and Pharisees. I mean, there's so, over and over and over and over again, there are all these things. He was brought forth to save, right? Isn't that what Joseph himself says? You guys meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God brought me so that I could save. Well, of course, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. They say over 150 types. Joseph, from Genesis, what is that, 47-ish? That sounds wrong. 37, thank you. 37 on, We can find over 150 types of Joseph being like Christ. He's a great type of Christ. David is a great type of Christ in his reign and how he is established and God blesses him. There's many types in the Old Testament that are like Jesus Christ, and there are types that are like the Antichrist in the Bible. And so as you read through, you can see those things. The Antichrist is he's a larger than life figure in the scriptures. And it does talk about what is to come, but there's a lot of things said about the Antichrist. So let's talk about his reign. The Antichrist's reign. When is this going to happen? What is going on? We're talking about the time of Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble. All right, we know as we looked here, and I've said before, Daniel's 70th week is a week. It's 7 years. All right, so there's this time frame that the Antichrist is going to rise up. All right, we're in Daniel. We read verse 26. Let's read 26 and 27. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. All right, so after this time frame, 62 weeks, and it's already adding in the 7 weeks from the verse before. There's this 69 weeks. That's why we call it the 70th week. There's these 69 weeks, and after 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And so there's no doubt this is at the cross. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war of desolations are determined. And he. Now, some people make this debatable. I don't find it that debatable. The he is in reference to the last subject, although the subject might be in the predicate. All right, it is the small p prince. He's the one we're talking about. All right, it's. And the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come. Then the rest of the verse. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for how long? 1 week. 1 week. We know how long that is. We've already done the math on this. It's 7 years. It's 7 years. All right. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, 7 divided by 2 is going to be 3.5. The midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So this small p prince is going to confirm the covenant for a week. Say, what do you believe? I believe there is the full 7 years of Daniel's 70th week left out ahead of us sometime after the rapture of the church. After the pre-tribulation rapture, there's a week out in front of us, 7 years in front of us, and who's going to show up on the scene at the beginning of that week is going to be the small p prince, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked, the beast, the little horn. He's going to show up and he's going to confirm this covenant. It says, with many for 1 week. He's going to confirm the covenant. Say, what's the covenant? That's the greatest question of all time concerning Daniel's 70th week. This covenant, we don't know exactly what the covenant, I'm talking about like anyone that I know, at best makes an educated guess about this covenant that is established. But we will learn a few things about what happens in this covenant during this time. All right, so let's turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6. Keep your fingers nimble because we're jumping back and forth. Revelation 6. Revelation chapter 6. This is at the very beginning of what I believe to be Daniel's 70th week. This is after the rapture has happened, a great type of that in chapter 4, at the beginning, where he says to John, come up hither. And then we see all these things going on in heaven. And in chapter number 6, in verse 1, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying," these are the four beasts that surround the throne, the four cherub, "come and see." This is this revelation given to John. "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." All right, now there's some misconceptions about the Antichrist and when he comes in and what's going to be going on. And there's this misconception with peace. All right, there's this idea that the Antichrist is going to come in at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week, and he's going to bring great peace to everybody, and with flattery, he's going to bring himself to power. All right, now he does come saying peace to some, and he does come using flattery to some. But this, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 2, this rider here on the white horse is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to come back riding a white horse. But the Antichrist is a great deceiver. He comes to deceive, and he comes to mimic Christ in some ways. And so he comes on a white horse. Say, how do you know? Just take my word for it, all right? Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 19 are the two white horse riders. All right, you're following me? If you want to write it down, write it down. I'm going to keep moving, all right? In chapter 6 here, the Antichrist comes on a white horse. Jesus Christ comes on a white horse in chapter 19. But this man here in Revelation chapter number 6, "and he that sat upon him had a bow." All right? Jesus Christ doesn't come with a bow. He comes with a sharp sword coming out of his mouth. Not the same. It says here, "he had a bow, and a crown was given unto him." In Revelation 19, Jesus Christ comes and he has many crowns. He has many crowns. The Antichrist comes with one singular crown. All right, we find here that the Antichrist in verse number 2, "and he went forth to conquer, conquering and to conquer." All right, Jesus Christ comes in righteousness to judge and make war. Not the same. Jesus Christ, say, well, he comes to make war and Jesus Christ conquers. He does conquer. He comes to make war, one war, and he comes in to make the battle of Armageddon, when all the nations are gathered against Christ, and he's going to come down at that war and destroy. All right? But the Antichrist is coming, conquering and to conquer. Why? Because he's going to establish himself. The Antichrist is going to come and establish himself. So just because there's a white horse and there's battles doesn't mean these are the same characters. They're not. In Revelation 6, this is the Antichrist coming in, and he comes in to conquer, is why he comes. Look in Daniel 11. Daniel 11, if you want to keep something in Revelation, you can, because Daniel and Revelation is kind of where we're hopping back and forth some here. Daniel 11. In 21, Daniel 11, 21, now there's a whole bunch of battles laid out here. And the problem with Daniel is, it's not a problem, it's our problem. It's not the Lord's problem with his word. But the thing about Daniel is, there are so many things that happened that were given to Daniel, and these visions that were given unto Nebuchadnezzar that have many historical applications. Because he gives kingdoms that are going to come. Persia and Greece, they are not world powers at the time of Daniel. Babylon is the world power. And he says, there's going to be world powers that are going to come after you. And he names them. It's going to be Persia, and it's going to be Greece, and Rome ends up fitting into the equation. These are going to be powers. And if you study history, you can read Daniel and see that there are prophecies given of how these kingdoms are broken up and how they are divided very specifically. and they match history. But the problem is you get some of these prophecies that don't match history. And so what do? We say there must be another application. If we can't fit this into history, there has to be a secondary application, and that application is in the future. So we're not taking this and saying, oh, this can't apply to anything historical. This applies to everything in the future. No, we don't want to be that ignorant. But another group says, this all applied to history, and none of it is future. Because we're already in the millennium. We've already been through the tribulation. Right? So they apply certain things to history and say, it's all done. And now we're just waiting for God to come back at the end of the millennium. For Christ to come back. He's ruling and reigning now through us. Yeesh. With all due respect, Lord, if this is your reign on the earth and all of your power, he doesn't have the power I thought he did. Why? Because he's not reigning right now. The prince of the power of the air is still reigning right now. That's who's still reigning. All right, so Daniel chapter number 11 and verse number 21. And in his estate, there's going to be a leader. And there's going to be someone that comes after this leader. He's in verse 20. He's going to stand up in his estate, and he's going to be a raiser of taxes. And, you know, Bible believers have thought it's every Democratic president that's ever been in office, you know. He's the one that's coming before the Antichrist. In verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. I know what I said, and he's coming to conquer. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him. When you see this flood, there's just not enough time. We'll never get done with this if I run every reference of these. When you see this flood, we think water. We see baptism, we think water, right? You see a flood, you think water, and there are floods with water, like Noah. But there are many floods, like Jeremiah talks about. It's a flood of armies, and they're coming from Egypt. It's not a flood of water. There's even a flood of, it says right here, and with the arms of a flood, they shall be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. All right, what is happening? There's armies that are coming. He comes in peaceably, and we'll just keep reading. Just keep reading. Verse 23, and after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people, and he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand. For they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, and it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. And then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. So he comes in peaceably, he comes in with flattery, and he establishes a position. He rises out of these kingdoms of the world. All right, at the time of Daniel's 70th week, he rises out of these kingdoms. And when he rises out with a small people, but he becomes strong. And we find that initially he comes and he conquers three kingdoms right away. And then he comes in, and this great kingdom of the south usually represents Egypt. And he has this battle for power and this struggle. And he comes in And he sits down at tables and starts to talk these things over. What is he doing? He's coming to conquer. And the Antichrist, in this first half of Daniel's 70th week, is rising to power, and he's rising to conquer. And he comes in, and the first thing he does at the beginning of the week is he establishes a covenant. He establishes a covenant. And we start to see at this with this covenant, that he makes this covenant with God's people. He makes this covenant with the Jews. And he makes this covenant, and it appears because of Revelation chapter number 11, that the temple is reestablished and that the Jews are worshiping again in their temple, that the small p prince comes in and establishes some covenant that makes the Jews comfortable with worshiping on the Temple Mount in amongst the Gentiles, and specifically in the Middle East right now, it's basically the Muslims and the Jews battling over everything. They feel comfortable with this covenant that they start sacrificing in the temple that they established from the Old Testament temple and start worshiping God. And he is speaking peace to God's people. And he says, you can worship whatever you want, whatever you want to do. You can worship here in any freedom you want. Meanwhile, he's going around and he's establishing power amongst the nations, amongst the kingdoms of the world. Look in Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Revelation 17 and verse number 3. The Bible says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. So here's this beast. Seven heads, ten horns. Appears to be the same beast. All right, with seven heads and ten horns. And he is connected here strongly with Mystery Babylon the Great. We talked about this. He's connected strongly with this woman who represents Rome and Roman Catholicism, who all the religions of the world are probably going to come under that the great papal leader, right? The Pope. They're going to probably, all the religions of the world are probably going to come underneath this with the rise of the Antichrist at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. As he's rising to power, he is locking political horns and shaking hands with what? With this Mystery Babylon the Great. And they rise to power together over all the world. And I look in verse number 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. All right, he says, there's this woman and the beast, and they're together. They rise up together. But that doesn't last very long. Because remember when we studied the woman, we studied her, all of a sudden, the woman gets cast down. Look in verse 17. Look in verse 16. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So they're going to destroy this woman of power as they all rise to power. And when are they rising to power? They're rising to power during the first half of Daniel's 70th week, when the Antichrist comes in and establishes himself as this world leader. And he's going to establish himself as this world leader, and then something's going to happen. Something's going to change. One event is going to change the trajectory of Daniel's 70th week. And once the last 3.5 years start, the Bible calls it a time of great tribulation. Great tribulation, a time of Jacob's trouble. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 8, 17:8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not. So something happens to the beast. The beast was, But currently, he says, and is not, and shall ascend. That same beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. I know it sounds confusing, but I've been over this a few times, all right? So just hold on. Turn back to chapter 13. Turn back to 13. So here comes the beast. Same beast. He shows up on the scene, and the Bible says here, in verse number 1, that a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. He comes up out of the sea. Now, we just read that this other beast that was, that is not, and yet is, this beast, Bible says, comes out of the bottomless pit. That's what it says in chapter 17. But this beast comes out of the sea. And look in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So here's this beast that was. This is the beast that was. He comes out of the sea. He was and is not. Why? Because something happens to this beast. This beast gets a deadly wound. He gets a deadly wound, and most likely, from what I can figure from the scriptures, the Antichrist, after 3.5 years, dies. He gets a deadly wound. Somebody kills him. Someone tries to kill him. And what happens after that is this deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And in verse number 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? You know all those nations we read about in Daniel? Remember those wars in Daniel 11 that we read about coming from the south, and they were coming at him? And once the Antichrist gets this wound and dies, and it wouldn't be surprising if it was 3 days later, that the Antichrist is risen from the dead, and his life is given to him of the dragon. And now this beast comes out of the bottomless pit, and here is the Antichrist, and the rest of the world says, who's able to fight against this guy? We're not. We fought against him when we thought he was a man, but now he is more than a man. Now there is something different to the Antichrist, and the world says, we're on board now with whatever you want. And after they get on board, we can finish out what we read in Daniel in Revelation chapter 17, where all these kings come together now, and they rise up with the Antichrist, and they put off the mother of harlots, the great whore. They put off her and say, we're done. We've used you. We are done with you now. We are done with you. We are now full power. And look what the Bible says here. Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. How long's 42 months? 3.5 years. It's 3.5 years. So he rises to power. He comes to conquer. And after 3.5 years of fighting and giving God's people, Jews, the Jews, establishing this covenant with them that they can worship freely, after this time, he gets killed, comes back to full power of Satan. And in Revelation 17, it says he goes into perdition. And what happens? Now he is full of power. He has a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him for how much longer? For 42 months longer. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So after the Antichrist and his resurrection, I'm going to use that term because he gets a wound unto death and then it's healed. After this, we find this turn. We find a change in Daniel's 70th week. We find a change where the Antichrist has full power from the dragon, from Satan. He is the personification of Antichrist and the mystery of iniquity. He has a helper, which we'll look at later, which is the false prophet. He has someone that helps and comes, and he comes in to everybody else, and he magnifies and lifts up the Antichrist. He also works with signs and wonders and directs everyone towards the Antichrist. And when that happens, at that 3.5 years, that covenant that was established in the middle of the week, right? Isn't that what it said in Daniel 9? In the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, he comes in and he says, no more to the Jews. Look in verse 7, chapter 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. The saints are God's chosen people. That terminology of kindreds, tongues, and nations in the Bible, that always represents the Gentiles, all the rest. So he's given power over all the rest. Now he comes and he makes war with the saints. And all that dwell upon the earth, verse 8, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. So here he comes once he gets his power and it's revealed unto him. So you understand now? He was the beast that rises up and he comes in to conquer. He was the Antichrist that comes in on the white horse coming in to conquer with a singular crown and a bow. He comes in and he speaks flatteries and he rises up with a small group of people and then he starts to conquer and come in with power and take over kingdoms of the world that are reigning at that time, at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. He was and he is not. Why? Because he died. He takes a wound unto death and is. Say, what do you mean, and he is? Because he's come back, and he's come back with more power, and he's come back differently. I mean, I'm not into all the Marvel and DC comics and whatever term I'll get wrong that all the comic book nerds will get on me about, right? I'm not into all those things, but when you read this, it kind of makes Spider-Man seem kind of lame, doesn't it? Oh, Spider-Man gets bit by this little spider, and then now he has these powers, and he can sling stuff around. Yeah, the Antichrist is a whole different animal. Someone that comes in, and after he comes back in his power, after being resurrected, the leaders of the world say, who can stand before this guy? Not us. We're with you. We're just going to get right in line with what you want. We're breaking this covenant. We're going all in against God's chosen people, the saints of God. We're in. We're in with you. And when that happens, what we'll look at next time is we'll look what happens. He turns and makes war with the saints. And he sets himself up as God. And he takes the sacrifice that he's given. He makes the sacrifice that Israel is offering unto the Lord. He makes it stop. He causes it to cease. And he kicks them out of their temple. Then he sets himself up as God. That's what happens. And there's an image that's set up. And that image is the abomination. That image that's set up and worshipped around the globe. And all these things the Antichrist does to bring into power And by the end of those 3.5 years, he has collected almost all power that there is on the earth. And they have one thing in mind. We're going against God's Christ. Why? Because we're full on board with the Antichrist. Doesn't mean that every single person is on board with the Antichrist. Not everybody follows after. Not everybody takes the mark of the beast. Not everybody goes after the Antichrist. But the majority of the world goes after the Antichrist and goes after those that will not worship the Antichrist. Why? Because there's a demonic deception that happens. And it's leading to the Antichrist. And that's why we can look around, we can study things like this in the Bible and say, man, it's just crazy. And we can study things like this in the Bible and we can see the spirit that already worketh. We can see it. We can see a spirit that already works together. All right? Say, what was a great trial? COVID was a great trial. Okay? Have something like this. Some people just start going crazy with stuff. Oh, it's a mark of the beast. And if you stop. We're Bible believers. We just open up our scriptures and we can read it. This is not a pro or anti rant on the is that at the beginning of fear, the world, a lot of the kingdoms of the world jumped directly on board world-given directive. That happened to be saying if you got the vaccine that you're not. That was a manifestation of the world saying, this is what we have to do. And they drove it home. And we saw, a small glimpse of how quickly the world is going to get on board. We saw quickly how when there was fear, and there is so many things going to be going on in the world. I mean, with famines and earthquakes and fires and in the second half of Daniel's 70th week, literally hell is opening and beasts are coming out and biting men to torment them. You want to talk about real fear? That is real fear. All right? Maybe I'm not afraid of what I should be afraid of. You know how sometimes in ignorance we're just not as afraid as we should be? You know, I went out soul winning, and it was on a Tuesday night in New York, and we were in Rochester, and I was with a Jamaican friend of mine that was in our church, and he's like, hey, let's go to the, he grew up in the city. He's like, hey, let's go to some of these places and we'll pass out some tracts. I'm like, I'm game. Let's go. Right? And so we go in there and it's already after dark. Right? And I'm the lightest colored guy there. And we get out of the car. Let's do this. We're passing out tracts. Let's do it. Start going and passing out tracts. And he's going, I'm like, what? And he goes, dude, you're brave. And I said, Dave, I don't know what I'm supposed to be afraid of. This isn't that hard. I don't know what I'm supposed to be afraid of around here. All right. So I'm just going to go pass out tracts and trust the Lord's going to protect me. Right. There are some times when we don't know when we're supposed to be afraid. But there are things that if those beasts come out of the pit and they start walking around in the parking lot, I'm going to send my kids out and see if they get eaten first. they might be faster than me, all right? They can run faster. There are some things that are going to bring fear, and all of the world's going to get on board. On top of a demonic deception. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen quick. And so as we continue to look here, we'll look at what happens after this 3.5 year shift. We'll look at what he does with Israel. We'll look at this image being set up. And then we'll kind of see his end. And we'll look at some other things here about the Antichrist. So, all right, thank you for your patience tonight. And choir and those that were here all afternoon, thank you for your hard work as well. But let's go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you again for your book. Thank you for the truth of it. Lord, thank you that we're going to be in heaven. And Lord, it's not going to be a joyful time at the judgment seat of Christ. But Lord, we're going to be safe, Lord, and secured through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, the things going on this earth are going to be terrible. Lord, they're going to be terrifying. Lord, it's going to be great death and destruction. Lord, and you have all your purposes for it, but I'm so thankful that you allowed us to get saved and to hear the gospel and the truth of it, Lord, and to receive you as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, I know that you're magnified through all these things. Lord, just please open up our minds a little bit for a little bit of understanding as we go through some of these things, Lord, and just walk by faith according to your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight.